a Bible study on the body of Christ out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I have been told by other people when I've spoken for that I talk really fast. So I will try to talk slowly and make sure that I am not leaving anyone blowing on ahead with my talking. But I am excited to speak tonight because this body of Christ, the people in this room, have edified me so much as I have been part of this body of Christ, and so I hope that I can edify you tonight. So, body of Christ. When I was in, a pastor has taught us many, many times about how God has set up models or metaphors in the Old Testament, types and shadows that help us understand, so that when there's a big concept, we can go back to this more solid, tangible idea. Jesus did this with parables. When he was talking about the kingdom of God, he would tell stories that made big concepts of the kingdom of God relatable to people and to their everyday life. And so when I was in Israel, I really understood this this idea of models and analogies and metaphors and types and shadows. It just really clicked there in when we were on that trip, as I got to see some things and all of a sudden, oh, I'm seeing something, and that's hearkening back to something in the Bible. It made so much sense. And God has shown me that the physical human body that we are sitting in or standing in right now can be a model or a metaphor of how the body of Christ here, should be working according to his perfect plan. So I just want to share with you what the Lord has been showing me and doing work in my heart, and just kind of share with you my Bible study and meditation that God's been giving me. So I want to read or open this with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. So this is a long passage. So bear with me as we go through this, and then we're going to later go back and kind of dissect it. So also, this is the Holman Christian Standard version. So here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. So the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed each one of the parts in one body, just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, then where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. This is Paul writing, and he's very repetitious. If you're understanding, it's one body. But even more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, then all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, then all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has placed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, managing, various kinds of languages. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in other languages? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. All right, so that's the passage that we are going to be delving into. But before we get into that, I want to set a stage so that we're all thinking about this passage on the same level. I have two levels that I want to set the stage on. First, I want to set the stage for the human body. And I want to read Psalms 139, verse 13. For it was you, speaking to the Lord, for it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. So the psalmist in here is talking about how God has designed you, me, has designed our bodies, to designed who we are, our gifts, our personalities, our capabilities. We are remarkably and wonderfully made, each one of us. It says here in verse 13 that you were knit together, you, meaning the Lord, knit you together in his mother's womb. I mean, you are handcrafted. He spent time on you, each one of you. And like I said, that encompasses all of you, your personality, your gifts, your talents, but also your physical body. The human body is amazing. It is really miraculous. I have some anatomy facts listed here that is just, it's just crazy. It's just amazing who we are and how our bodies are working and all the automatic processes, things that we don't think about, yet we continue to live. Let me just give you a few facts about the anatomy of your body and how amazing it is. You have 78 organs in your body right now. You have 206 bones. And did you know that 26 of those bones are in your foot, each foot? 27 of those bones are in your hand. You have 27 bones in this hand, in your hand. The brain can contain 86 billion nerve cells joined by 100 trillion connections. And this is more than the number of the stars in the Milky Way. Another amazing thing, for an adult human, taking one step, so just going like this, that engaged 200 muscles. Craziness. Messages from the human brain travel along nerves that are up to 200 miles an hour. That speed is happening in your body right now, as you think a thought, 200 miles per hour. The human brain uses just as much power as a 10-watt light bulb. So, see, these aren't 10 watts, I'm sure, but see the power that's being generated. Your brain uses that. The human eye can distinguish between approximately 10 million different colors. I didn't know there was that many colors. And your eye, the eyes that you are looking at me with right now, can do that. The eye is so complex that it has over 2 million working parts in it, and I don't know how to verify that. I'm like, really, 2 million? But there's so much going on in your eye with nerves and your cornea and the reflection thing that's going on there. I am not a details person, so I can't describe that to you, but there's 2 million parts in your eye right now. You may not even think about your eye. Your eye may be like it itches or something, or you're blinking, and you're not thinking about your eye and all the complexities that are going on in it. A human makes approximately 20,000 breaths per day. 20,000 breaths. And did you know your body does that automatically? You never have to think about breathing. You have to never think, okay, exhale, or inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. In fact, when you get short on breath, your body has automatic processes that cause you to take in more oxygen, like yawning. Your heart will start, you know, if you're like doing something vigorous, you're running or something, your heart will start pumping and causing more blood to get to your lungs so that they will continue to work. Your body just does that automatically. God designed your body to do that automatically. The heart also beats. I don't know how they know this either. The heart beats 35 million times a year. Again, an automatic process. You don't have to tell your heart to beat. It just does. God designed it to be that way. Smiling triggers 17 muscles of the face, while crying activates 43. So when you smile, there's 17 muscles being activated. You don't have to tell those muscles to activate. You don't even know those muscles are activating when you smile. I mean, your body is so complex, the number of organs that are in it and how they're all working together, it is amazing. And we were fearfully, these facts show that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So keep that in mind. That's the first stage that I wanted to set. Now the second level that I wanted to, I wanted to make a point that, so keep that in mind when we're talking about the body of Christ, you know, even this body of Christ right here, the Rehoboth body of Christ, we are together fearfully and wonderfully made, okay? So keep that in mind as we move into this next level that I want to set on the stage. So this is what the Lord was really working on me. This idea of the one flesh unit or the one flesh body that results from marriage. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 22. Then the Lord God made the rib that he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Verse 24, "This is why a man leaves his father and his mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh," or one body. This is God's design for marriage. And this is what the Lord was working on me, is that I was frustrated with my husband. Yeah, I was frustrated with him. And the Lord was trying to show me how we are a body, and I need to be working with my body and not working against it. So I have permission to share this from Josh. He knows this is going to be shared. He can't be here tonight. He's working. But I know when other people have spoken and taught, preached, and they share stories of their life and how they practically applied scripture to their life and their situation, that has edified me. And so I want to share how God has edified me relating to the one flesh, the body of my marriage, and then we're going to bring this into the body of Christ that applies to everyone here tonight. So through God's special design of marriage, Josh and I are one body or one flesh according to scripture, but we're very different people. And being joined to someone who's different than you is hard. So let me kind of set the stage. We have Melissa, right? That's me. Melissa is a talker. She loves to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And I can talk about things when there's not things to talk about. It's very rare when I'm short on words. Then let's take Josh. He's not a talker. He's a thinker. He's an observer. He prefers quiet. He's at, Melissa, you are still talking. We're different people, all right? We're joined together, but we're different, and we're trying to be one flesh. Okay, another example, me. I'm into the big picture. The big vision, the look at this whole, art display, or look at this whole complexity of something. Josh is into the details. Josh doesn't care about the whole thing. He's like looking at this one piece of the whole thing. And I'm like, stop looking at that one piece and look at this big picture. We clash on that. Another example is Melissa is extroverted. It's often related to that word describes like a personality. Someone who's very extroverted, they're outgoing, they're talkative, they're often, I wouldn't say center of attention, but they usually are kind of out there talking. People are usually looking at them, and they are like bubbly type, and they're just, you know that person, you know who I'm talking about. Josh is introverted. He's not bubbly. He is, he likes to be alone. That's another thing with an extrovert. An extrovert loves being with people. They are energized by being with people. But Josh, who's an introvert, he actually likes being alone. People drain him. He is not talkative. He's not outgoing. He is different than me. But we're joined in this one body unit. So how's this going to work? Two other things. Melissa, she has a communication style. Not only does she continue to talk and talk and talk and talk, but she has a communication style of enjoying the ride. So let's just go for a ride in my conversation. I'm going to tell you this story, and then, oh, you know what? That story reminds me of this, and you know what? The dry cleaning. Did you know it happened at the dry cleaner? And then we're talking about my mom, and then the cat, we just enjoy the ride. And my husband is like, where are you going with this story? I have no idea what the point is. Josh's communication style is land the plane. Land the plane now. You go up. You get where you're going, land the plane. The shortest distance between two points, that's how he communicates. Always get to the point. Last thing, Melissa is a planner. I love to plan. I love to plan. I love to plan calendars. I love to plan events. I love to when I was in college, I would make these like 1-year calendars and 5-year calendars and 10-year calendars of where we're going to be in 10 years. And like, I would just like love to like plan. Josh doesn't like to plan. Josh has a different approach to, it's not that he is disorganized or anything, but he likes to deal with the now, with today, one step at a time, Melissa. And I'm always thinking about next month and 6 months. And so we clash. So there are all these places that Josh is different from me. And I saw it as a weakness. I saw that because you're different, I'm superior. I seriously thought that. And when I say it out loud, I'm like, wow, Melissa, that sounds ugly of you. But that is seriously what I thought. And when I would pray, I'd pray, Lord, you need to change him. You need to do something about this. So the Lord brings this kind of scripture to me, and he explains to me, and this is, only the Lord can do this. When you have a mindset and you are stuck in this mindset, only God can just renew your mind and be so gracious about it. He doesn't come in there with attitude or put you in your place or anything. He's so gracious about it. And over a couple of months, God gave me the understanding that God designed Josh in a fearfully and wonderfully made way to have the personality, to have the talents, to have the strengths that he has. Everything that I wanted the Lord to fix in him was actually part of God's design for Josh. So The Lord renewed my mind with Genesis 2:24. He made me aware that we're different organs or body parts, but operating out of the same one body, one flesh unit. And Ephesians chapter 5 actually backs this up. Here in verse 23 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body." And then skipping down to verses 28 and 29. "So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies." It's saying, men, love your wives as your own bodies. Be that one flesh unit. "For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." It's a command to men to embrace your wife and be that one flesh unit, just as Genesis is saying a husband and a wife are that one flesh unit. So let's just, so this is how the Lord continued to reveal this to me and work on me and bring about a good work in my life. So this idea that we are different body parts or different members, like 1 Corinthians 12 said. And God gave me this example that we are different organs and body parts, that maybe Melissa is the mouth of our one unit body. She's visible, like you see the mouth is on the face, right? It's very visible. She talks. She's loud. I don't know. Maybe you guys don't think I'm loud, but Josh is always like, "Can you just be quiet?" But Josh may be the organ of the heart, okay? It is a background process, right? You can't see it. But it's not loud. It's not out there, but it's in the same body. And even though the mouth and the heart really have nothing in common, their makeup is different. There's teeth in it, there's a tongue in it, there's taste buds, there's lips. The heart is actually like a muscle. There's blood in it, there's tissue in there. They have different functions. The mouth is made for eating, for talking. The heart is made for pumping blood. These two body parts almost have nothing in common, but they need each other. They are part of the same body. The mouth nourishes the body. It brings in food for the body to metabolize. That brings nourishment to the whole body and keeps the heart beating. But the heart pumps the blood that keeps the mouth enabled to eat. So if the mouth doesn't eat, the body will die with the heart. If the heart doesn't pump, the body will die, the mouth with it. Other examples that the Lord just started to kind of bring this to light with, you know, say Melissa's like the hands. She's out there, she's doing stuff, she's busy, she's planning. Josh is more like the lungs, that background process or that function. But so necessary. If the lungs stop breathing, the hands won't be doing anything. Same thing with the feet. Feet versus the brain. If I'm the feet and I'm walking, I'm going places, I'm doing things. But the brain, again, it's as non-visible. We all know it's there. It's so critical for the body that you have a brain. You won't be going anywhere with your feet if your brain's not working. But that is how important and dependent these organs are. But they're different organs, same body. Sister Audrey?
So true, because a lot of the times, especially women, and I know in the household that I grew up in, that verse 23 right there is one that we really don't like to pay attention to, where it says the husband is the head of the wife, because a lot of times we tend to be a little bit strong-willed and want our own way and not want to follow and be obedient to our husbands, which, like you, that was very hard for me, because I was like, wait a minute. I've been there, I've done that, you haven't. And it was a struggle for me, just even with our age difference, I had to like learn how to submit. And I have to say, Melissa has done such an awesome job with helping even my husband and I get past some of our own issues and being different, but a lot of the same. And that is so true. And that was the one scripture that I really have had to repent. I've had to repent as a wife, because I was not trying to hear nothing my husband had to say, because I felt like I know better than you know.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. His work is redemptive. Yes, is there something?
I'm not married, but I watched a sermon, and the pastor was talking about, he said, in order for a woman to submit and be under her husband got to be submitted under God first. So I was wondering if that necessarily true, or
is it's totally true? True.
Okay.
It's totally true. That's not where I'm going with my Bible study, but yes, that is very true. And it, one thing that's interesting, this is getting a little off topic, but I'll just quick say this, is that as the Lord has worked on me about this, and I have like, okay, Lord, this is your design. I'm going to submit unto you. Changes started to occur in our marriage, where things just all of a sudden realigned, and I can't explain it. It was the Lord. It was the Lord working. So let me continue on with this body example. Keep talking about me and my husband. We're going to bring this around to the whole body of Christ here, so just bear with me. So God showed me that he said, everything that you want to change in your husband is what's right with him, is what's good with him. If Josh is the heart organ, you want him to start acting like a mouth. That's what you want him to do. You want him to be more like you and act out your will. Yeah. Melissa, this is selfish and prideful. And I was like, Lord, what? But it's true. It's true. As he, took the scales off my eyes, I saw this. God also said, Melissa, you're resisting a very good, positive process. Josh is sharpening you. If I continued in all my ways of planning, of talking, of big picture, I would burn myself out. The little things that make up the big things would never get done. And I would ultimately be unproductive and ineffective in everything they did. He brings balance so I have some strengths, right? But your strengths can become weaknesses. And he brings balance to me. And there's a verse in the Bible that backs this up. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. That's the Holman Christian Standard. In the King James Version, it also says the same thing, different translation. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And what are we talking about, iron sharpening iron? So the context for this is referring to like a blacksmith who's sharpening weapons, perhaps for battle or maybe tools for farming or something. Think of a knife today. If you don't sharpen that knife against some kind of file or steel rod, it won't cut. It won't be useful in the kitchen. It won't be useful for what it's designed to do, is to cut. I forgot to put some pictures of blacksmith with iron on a... I forget what it's called, there's a term for it where they actually have the iron anvil. Yeah, there's another, it's like I can't remember. I'm sorry, I'm not going to waste your time trying to think of it. But there's actually, they have iron on an anvil of some kind. And it's heated up. It's heated, like the iron itself is like burning red. It's been heated so that it can be molded and reshaped to be sharpened. And then there's this hammer on top of the iron that's like pounding at it, and there's sparks flying. And if I'm the iron, that's me being turned up to those really high burning temperatures with the hammer on me and sparks are flying. This process of being sharpened isn't exactly fun. I'm sorry I don't have the visual here, but it's not exactly a fun process. But when you're done, you're sharp, you're a tool, you're ready and you're productive for battle or for whatever the task is. If you are not sharpened, you will be dull and you will be useless. You won't be an asset to the body that you're in. So that's what the Lord showed me. He said, not only are you, do you think you are better, you think you're superior to the other members of your one flesh body, but then you are also resisting a refining process. And he talks about in the Bible, gold being refined, precious metals being refined in the fire, not in the jacuzzi, the fire. There's heat, and it's not a fun process, but it renders a more beautiful metal and that is valuable. So one, God showed me that I was not respecting or valuing God's fearfully and wonderful design that he put into my husband, and I was not submitting to his process of being made into a stronger, more mature Christian. And like Audrey said, I had to repent. And I had to submit, realign my mind with God's word, not my word, and submit to God's design for marriage, for this one flesh operating system. And since, like I've kind of mentioned before, life has been so much better. We're not perfect, but God, Josh and I are going to walk in unity. We are more peaceful. We are appreciative towards each other. We are kind. We never used to be kind to each other before. And I'm married to an amazing man, but the Lord had to open up my own eyes because I was too blind by my own selfishness to see that. All right, so that's what the Lord was working on me. And as he opened that to me, he opened this whole, all these principles that we just kind of talked about to the actual body of Christ right here, the Rehoboth body of Christ that's sitting in this room. Okay, so let's bring this back to the 1 Corinthians passage that we opened with at the beginning. So far, we've learned that the human body is fearfully and wonderfully made, as is the body of Christ right here, fearfully and wonderfully made, with abilities, with talents, with gifts. We also learned that, to review the one flesh marriage example, that the body is a coming together of different parts that are different from one another and different in functionality and makeups, but together they act as one unit. So here's Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13 again. With this new mindset about the body, you know, let's look at this. For as the body is one and has many parts, all the parts of that body, though many, are one body. So also is Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, or you could put in a different personalities, extrovert, introvert, whether slaves or free, whether a talker or a non-talker, we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Here at Rehoboth, we are one body, but we are many members. There's probably maybe 25, 30 of us here. Let's think practically about which body parts or members are represented right here, right now. So let's kind of do a practical exercise. Don't talk aloud, don't gesture, don't point. But think about who the mouths in this place are. Think about what a mouth does. A mouth, it communicates, it nourishes, it takes in food and nourishes the whole body. That's how you get vitamins, that's how you get fiber, that's how you get everything that you need to survive is through the mouth. It communicates, it edifies, and I mean, as long as you're speaking life, it is edifying. Think about who the mouths are in this place. Yeah, I'm not just going to call up people and I'm not doing an official analysis or anything, but Pastor and Brother Chris, we know they're up here right in the pulpit, often speaking, right, with their mouths, and they are nourishing us with that ability with the Word of God. They are edifying us. They are communicating to us the word of God. People in this place have that strength, right? They have that that capability. But the body isn't just a mouth, right? The mouth actually, like in a comparison to your entire body, the body is making up maybe, I don't know, 5% of this body right now. It is actually a small member. There's actually a lot more going on. A lot more that automatic processes that are going on and And yes, there's a lot more going on. And the mouth can also turn into a weakness, right? It can talk too much. It can eat too much, right? Where it's not nourishing the body anymore. It's not edifying anymore. So who are the hearts in this place? Think about it. The people in the background that are making sure things get done. They're not getting recognition. They're not being seen. But they are the heartbeat, right? I'm thinking of Sunday school teachers and nursery workers. Someone we already kind of made this a comparison with Josh back there doing the lyrics and doing the sound and stuff. You know, things that are going on that are making the service move forward, that are making this congregation move forward, making it productive and able to minister to visitors and everything. All these background processes are happening. The church cleaners, exactly. Yeah, heartbeats. We need them. Who are the hands in this place? Are you a hand? This could go two different ways. It could be a hand, like a visible reaching out, connecting, holding, bringing things together. I think of the hospitality ministry. I think of Sister Danis. You can also think of it as like kind of an extrovert way, like I mentioned before. Extrovert is that's what I meant with Sister Janice. But you can also kind of think of it more as a doer, right? Something that gets things done, who cleans, who cooks, maintenance, while not getting the spotlight. Let's think about who are the feet. Who are the feet in this congregation, in this body right here? How about the people who go out and bring people into the body? Thinking about our bus ministry and our outreach ministry with Sister Johnny and Sister Janice and whoever else drives the bus. Big deals, right? I mean, we've talked about some major organs. If you're not eating, you're talking your mouth, you're not eating, you're not communicating. Your heart, the heartbeat, you mean the body will die if your heart's not beating. Hands, feet, nothing will get done if those aren't operating properly. Does anyone know what the largest organ in the body is? The skin. It's the skin. I can't stump you. It's the skin, yeah. According to the height and weight of your skin, like if we would, you know, take off all your skin and measure it against the other organs, it would be the biggest, the largest, the most, the weightiest. But we don't really think about our skin being like an organ. We don't think about it like, you know, like maybe your mouth or maybe your heart. It's just kind of there. You know, I don't really think about my skin, but that is a part of the body, a part of the spiritual body. Who is the skin here? Think about that. You know, skin protects the organs, the muscles, the bones. It also keeps things together. It keeps the body connected. It's also sensitive, right? It's got nerve endings giving you a reading on if things are hot or cold or rough or soft or whatever. There are people in our congregation, in our body here who have that, those abilities, those capabilities, those strengths. Something that came to me on Sunday was that Brother Chris was playing the keyboard, and it just reminded me of how when David... you know, King David, but before he was king, he was playing the harp for King Saul, and evil spirits or disturbing spirits would leave Saul when David played the harp. And it reminded me, Brother Chris, when you were doing that, that when we come in here and you're playing, or even Mel, anyone, any of our musicians that are playing, you know, it wards off, it cleans out the atmosphere, like pastors talked about with the day of Pentecost. And it reminded me of how white blood cells work. You know, they are those unseen forces that are fighting off infections and keeping things out of the body that need to be out of the body. Another function of the body of Christ here, that even our musicians, that it's not just a praise and worship function. There's a spiritual function going on there. All right, let's quickly look at one other kind of organ, I guess, of the body, a group of organs that Paul talks about in chapter 12, verses 23 and 24. He says, and those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable. So I'm not trying to be crude or rude or anything, but let's think about waste management organs. I'm not trying to compare anybody's ministry to this or anything, but sometimes we need to play the role of the unpresentable parts, right? This is just my interpretation, but, you know, waste management organs, this is the stuff that nobody wants to do. Nobody wants to talk about. No one wants to be. It's when we don't want to take time out of our day to go do that pastor asked us to do. We don't want to sacrifice our time or our resources to whatever the task is. We don't want to give up our money. We don't want to do something that's not going to get recognized. We don't want to get our hands dirty with mess or drama or whatever. But you know what? If your body doesn't have waste management organs, you become septic, like a septic tank that just holds sewage, meaning that your body cannot dispel of toxins, and without modern medicine or healing, you're going to die. You are going to die. It's guaranteed. In fact, Josh and I know someone, we're not closely connected to this person, but they had a liver dysfunction, and their whole digestion tract and everything was not working, and they just became septic, and they died within weeks. And it's a really sad way to go. So think about what happens if you never take out the garbage out of your house. Yeah, think about that buildup of trash. It would stink. It would attract rodents, flies. It would be unsanitary. It would be a breeding ground for disease, for infection. I mean, think if we never took out the garbage out of the kitchen downstairs. Think about what a mess that would make. We need people in this body of Christ to act as waste management organs. But look what Paul says about these less presentable parts. That we give them more honor, greater honor. And those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe them with greater honor, and our presentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable. So our hands, say that these are presentable, they're totally exposed. In a way, these are kind of naked, right? They're unprotected. But the unpresentable parts, we actually clothe those areas. We protect them with clothing. We give them greater honor. You know, we even spend a lot of money on our clothes. We pay attention to our clothing, making sure that, you know, it's not shabbing, falling apart clothing. It looks good, all right? It looks good on our unpresentable parts. So think about who here in this building, who here is doing that stuff and ministering in ways that you don't want to do. We need to be giving those people greater honor. We need to be lavishing on them. So think about, like, where you are. You know, this has been kind of practical. But think about where you are in the body of Christ. Where is your place? What are you? Are you a heart? Are you a hand? Are you a foot? Are you an eye? Are you the stomach? Are you the kneecap? You know, even if you are a small member, if you're just a toe on a foot, you are kind of a big deal. Missing toes on a foot make it very difficult for the whole body to walk and to get somewhere. Sister Audrey knows this. She had a minor surgery on her toes, and that shut you down for a couple weeks, huh? She hasn't been to work. She's had to recuperate. So if you think your part in the Rehoboth body of Christ is not important, you're wrong. Perhaps you are one of those bones in the 26 bones that are in your hand. Guess what? If you're not there, if you're not there in the 26 bones, then the hand's ability is lessened, or maybe it just won't function at all, depending on what bone it is. This Cortez, who's not here, I think, you know, he knows about that. He broke his hand. Something got broken or fractured, and now his whole hand is out of commission. Well, I don't know about anymore, but at least that one weekend. So we are one body, but many members, and many members that have different strengths, different capabilities, different makeups, but one body. So let's go kind of through again, through this passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and 12 through 31, with this renewed mind, and think about the body of Christ here in Rehoboth and how we can complement each other, even though that we are very different. For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one. So many right here, many parts right here, but we are one body. And we are all baptized into one spirit, by one spirit, into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, whether feet or hands, whether hearts or brains, whether kneecaps or toenails. We're all made to drink of one spirit. So the body is not one, but many. Many people here. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it belongs to the body. So this is that kind of, that like attitude that you can get, and like, it's kind of the reverse of what I thought, but like a one body part is thinking that another body part is superior or not superior. But you are still part of the body, you're still needed. And the ear, if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. You may not think your ear does a lot. You might think you, if that's what you are, an ear, you're not very significant. Well, you are. You are. We just talked about how the littlest members of our body can affect the whole body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? We can't all be one organ, and you can't expect other people who have strengths to be like you. Even though you would love that, but you can't. If we were all an eye, we would never hear. And if we were all an ear, we would never smell. But now God has placed each one of the parts in one body, just as he wanted. When going back to that fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, God designed your eye to be the way it is. God designed your digestive system to be the way it is. God designed that 200 muscles would engage when you take one step. God designed that, all right? It's how he wants. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? If we were all one mouth, if we were all a foot, there would be no body. It would just be a foot. Or it'd just be a mouth, and it would like be isolated, and it'd be useless. Now there are many parts, many people here, but one body. But even more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. We talked about that again with the toes. If you think you have a toe function or a small function in the church, you are still part of the body. And if we are not there, our capability to walk and to move is lessened, if not altogether cut off. And those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our presentable parts have a better presentation. We went over this. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable. And we give greater honor to the parts that are unpresentable, so that there is no division in the body. There's no, I'm superior, you're superior. There's no inequality. There's no fighting, competition. There's no division. There's unity. But that the members would have the same concern for each other. This is something that, if Pastor allows me to talk about this again, we'll talk about it again. We'll talk about building up and tearing down the body of Christ. But that we would have the same concern for each other, so that when someone's hurting, when your toe is hurting, the whole body is ministering to the toe so that it gets well. Or, you know, pick a body part. The whole body is ministering to it so that it gets well. So then, if one member suffers, if your toe is suffering, then all the members suffer with it. But if one member is honored, if your toe gets better, if it's healed, all the members rejoice with it. All of a sudden you're excited. Hey, my toe was hurting, now it's not. Where the whole body is happy now. Now you are the body of Christ, an individual, fearfully and wonderfully made. Your strengths, your abilities, your personality, individual members, but one body of Christ. Now God has placed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, managing, various kinds of languages. He's talking about the actual gifts. The pastor said at the beginning of the service, if you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you have a gift. You have one of these ministries or these gifts. And they're not the same. They're different. But they complement each other. Are all apostles, and he does, it's not in here, but it says, are all prophets? Sorry. If all are apostles, and I would say no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all do miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in other languages? No. Do all interpret? No. Not everyone does the same thing because we are different members. But desire the greater gifts, and I'll show you an even better way. And that's how the chapter ends. And if we have an opportunity to talk about this again, we'll talk about what that greater gift is. So something also that I want to bring to light, that it's not as I explained to you with the instance of my marriage and trying to become one body with my husband, and to humble yourself and to, you know, esteem something in Josh that is different than me has taken a lot of work and a lot of submission on my part to the Lord. I've had to submit to the head, okay? So here's Colossians chapter 1, verses 18. He being Jesus, is also the head of the body, the church. The head of the body, the church, the body. He's the head, okay? He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. So, yeah, everything we were talking about, the different body parts. Now let's pretend, not pretend, it's a real thing. Jesus is the head. He is the control center, all right? He is bringing in all the information. He's the one who's sending signals to the body. And then we are these, you know, body parts that are beneath the head. When you submit to the head, you're going to be able to figure out how to give honor to the unpresentable part. You're going to be able to know that maybe I'm a hand. I don't have anything in common with the heart, but wow, do we need each other? I need you to survive. I'm thinking about that song. If you submit to the head, if you submit to Jesus, then he is going to direct you. He's going to show you how to be part of the body. It's not exactly going to be easy, but it's going to, like iron sharpens iron, it's going to refine you. It's going to make you a better body part, a better member of the body. So, wrapping this up, a few things that are the big takeaways is that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your human body, your abilities are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And the body of Christ was also knit and put together and designed by him. And so, knowing that, we recognize the different strengths here. And we don't perceive them as weaknesses. Oh, because you're not a talker, you're inferior. Oh, because you are a talker, you're inferior. We don't compete like that. We complement each other. We're not selfish in wanting others to function like you and to think like you and to be like you and to do things like you, to do your will. But instead, we submit to the sharpening process, to the honing process. And we do that through submitting to the head of the body. And when we submit to the head of the body, we also find our place, right? You know, sometimes we're not sure, like, where we fit. if you would consult the head, if you consult the control center of the body, you would discover your place, your ability, your gift, where you are most needed. All right, I want to wrap this up with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and then 11 through 16. Hopefully you can all see that. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul writing, urge you to walk worthy of the calling that you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. One body, one everything. Now let's skip down to verses 11 through 16. Sorry, that's not supposed to say 6. And he personally, Jesus, he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. This is talking about the different organs, the different abilities, the different personalities. For the training of the saints in the work of the ministry. So that iron sharpening iron, that training of multiple saints to be productive in the ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity and in the faith, in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man. That's what happens. That's the final end result of that sharpening process, a mature, strong, built up man with the stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children. Think about a child's ability versus an adult's ability. Adults are more productive. They are stronger. But if you can be a body, but if you're a child's body, you haven't fulfilled your potential yet. That we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness. In the techniques of deceit, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ, the body, head of the body. From Him, the whole body, fitted and knit together. Going back again to Psalms 139, knit together in your mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully made, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament. Every supporting ligament, again, all the different organs, members of the body doing their job, promotes growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. This is that fearfully and wonderfully made and designed body that the Lord has put together. This is that vision of what he desires from us. Sister Johnny.
Yes, well, I have a lot going on in my head right now. But for this part where it says that God gave some, so that's a saying of more than one, because if the congregation is a big congregation, it could be more than one evangelist in the same body, but they should be in agreement.
Amen.
You know, and so I was thinking about, with that being said, I was thinking about how also the part where we are supposed to be knitly and jointed, fitted together, you know, even though we all have different backgrounds as to where we come from, the Bible says that you are a new creature in
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
We should be able to agree with one another. And if we have faults with one another, the Bible also tells us how to handle that so that we won't have the fault.
Amen.
Because if you continue on with the fault, it's going to get just like a small sore that becomes an open wound. So that's why the Bible tells you how to handle that. And also the Bible says about having this world's good and not able to help your brother or sister. We should be willing and more than willing, especially if we have it, to help our brothers and sisters who are in need with no problem. Even if we have to get the understanding that we're not expecting anything back. And once you get that understanding, you'll be more than happy and more than willing to help someone out when they're in need.
Amen. Amen. Totally agree. Amen. If we are able to do a second part to this study, something that I'm hoping we can talk that we can do in a Bible study is talk about building up, but then also tearing down the body of Christ. And as you just said, Sister Johnny, with it should be natural that we would want to help a hurting member of the body. Think about your own body. If I keep picking on the toes, but if your toe is hurting, I mean, you are doing everything to kind of help that toe out, right? You got Band-Aids out, you got crutches, you got whatever you got to do, putting up your feet. The whole body is ministering to that because you just want that thing to be well. And it's not because, oh, if I make my toe be better, then maybe my toe will give me back something. No, you just do it because you want the body to be well. The other thing is about attacking, or tearing down the body. We'll just quick. Show me your hand. Show me a hand. Now have it attack your knee. That's lame attacking. But isn't that silly for me to ask your hand to attack your knee? Like, why would you do such a thing? Why would this? I mean, you know how that felt to hit or to cut or anything your own body. You're gonna be suffering. Not that body part. You know, you're not gonna like sew their knee. Ha! No, now your whole body is going to be hurting. Good job. So we're gonna hopefully talk about that again. But so that's everything. Thank you again. Oh, let me finish with this testimony. When I was here on, you know, we had this awesome worship service on Sunday. When we were baking pies on July 1st, I was like crouched down and I got up, and when I did so, I pulled something in my leg. I don't know, and that muscle was just, I don't even know what muscle it was. It was sore. It was in slight pain. And you know, when I would sit down and get up, I would feel it all the time. But we were fellowshipping. We were worshiping here. I was part of the body. You know, I was here singing with you. And as Pastor has prayed and mentioned that, I think virtue went out. You guys ministered to me, and I'm not in pain anymore. My leg is completely healed. I don't know when that happened on Sunday, but I just noticed yesterday that I was like, my leg is completely fine, and I tried to make it hurt, and it wouldn't. It was completely healed. But this body ministered to me, and you know, you guys may not even know that I was hurting, but by being connected to the body, you ministered to me.